For members of the Stolen Generations, the formal apology has been a long time coming. It's nearly 11 years since the Bringing Them Home report was tabled in the Federal Parliament, with many politicians holding back tears as they read parts of it to the House. But John Howard and his government refused to deliver a formal apology on behalf of the Parliament. Lindy Kerin looks back on the years of political wrangling and the long journey to a national Stolen Generations apology.
This luxurious Melbourne home is a fairy tale come true for three Aboriginal girls from Melville Island, 180 miles from Darwin. Mr. and Mrs. Deutscher visited the island last year and adopted three Aborigines to bring up with their own three children. Christine is four, and for the first time in her life, she has a mother and father.
That was how the forcible removal of Indigenous children was justified as late as the 1970s in Australia. But as the Bringing Them Home report later confirmed, it was anything but a fairy tale for as many as 50,000 members of the Stolen Generations. Among them is Eileen Cummings.
I was removed as a 4.5-year-old from a cattle station called Minaroo in central Arnhem Land, and taken from there to Maranboy Police Station, then all the way up to Darwin, and then put on a boat and sent to Croker Island.
Eileen Cummings travelled from the Northern Territory to hear today's apology.
And now people can, the whole of Australia can see that the government at the time did something really bad against children, you know. So the apology means lots of things to me.
But it's taken a long time. Many say the road to a national apology was paved by the former Labor Prime Minister Paul Keating when he gave his famous Redfern speech 16 years ago.
It was we who did the dispossessing. We took the traditional lands and smashed the traditional way of life. We brought the diseases and the alcohol. We committed the murders. We took the children from their mothers.
Then in 1991, the landmark Bringing Them Home report was tabled in Federal Parliament. It detailed the horrific stories of hundreds of people taken from their families and placed in institutions adopted or fostered. The inquiry's commissioner, Sir Ronald Wilson, described what happened as genocide.
It's important to answer these undermining comments and statements with the truth. Again, it's been stressed today that the truth is the only foundation for reconciliation.
Among the 54 recommendations was a call for a national apology and compensation. But throughout his term, the former Prime Minister John Howard refused to offer a formal apology. At the National Reconciliation Convention in Melbourne in 1997, Indigenous delegates turned their backs on him when he offered a personal apology, but then launched into a defensive speech about his controversial native title legislation.
In the name of truth, in the name of a frank discussion of this issue, to repudiate the claim that my 10-point plan involves a massive handout of freehold title at taxpayer expense. That is an absolute myth. It is absolutely contrary to the fact.
Despite intense lobbying by Indigenous leaders, John Howard was adamant that a national apology wouldn't be given. In August 1999, he issued a statement of deep and sincere regret, but there was no mention of the word sorry or compensation.
The Australian people know that mistakes were made in the past. The Australian people know that injustices occurred. The Australian people know that wrongs were committed. But for the overwhelming majority of the current generation of Australians, there was no personal involvement of them or of their parents. And to say to them that they are personally responsible and that they should feel a sense of shame about those events is to visit upon them an unreasonable penalty and an injustice.
The refusal to apologise to the Stolen Generations frustrated Indigenous leaders like Loughcher O'Donoghue, who accused the government of failing Indigenous people.
He consistently responds to descriptions of Indigenous experience as a black armband view of history. These are the responses of denial that I spoke of earlier, and they diminish him as a person and Australia as a nation.
While the Howard government established a $63 million fund for the Stolen Generations, tens of millions of dollars were spent fighting compensation claims in the courts. The Commonwealth spent more than $8 million fighting a claim by two Northern Territory members of the Stolen Generations, Lorna Cabillo and Peter Gunner. In August 2000, the Federal Court in Darwin dismissed the case. The first successful case came in August 2007. Bruce Trevorrow was a baby when he went to hospital in Adelaide in the 1950s with stomach pain. After he recovered, instead of being returned to his family, he was placed in state care. He was awarded $500,000 in damages and then a further $250,000 in interest. The groundswell of public support for a national apology continued, and in May 2000, around 200,000 protesters marched across the Sydney Harbour Bridge to support reconciliation. Tom Calmer is the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner with the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission. He says the apology to members of the Stolen Generations is an important milestone in Australia's history and will help those still suffering.
Those people who were forcibly removed or had family that were forcibly removed have had a lot of mental anguish, and this saying sorry by the government and for people to personally experience that within their lifetime will have a very cathartic effect. It will help in their process of healing and moving forward.
That's the Social Justice Commissioner, Tom Calmer, ending Lindy Kerin's report.